بسم الله والصلاة والسلام على رسول الله وعلى آله ومن ولاه وبعد. This evening, بإذن الله تعالى, this is going to be our 15th session reading from the commentaries on العقيدة التحاوية مع الإمام أبو جعفر أحمد بن محمد بن سلامة التحاوي رحمه الله. And in tonight's session, inshallah, we're going to continue with what we left off from last week, that is discussing the عقيدة of Ahl Sunnah wal Jama'ah, that the Quran is the speech of Allah. That the Quran is the speech of Allah. Before we look at the continuation of this topic, we want to quickly review some of the points that we discussed last week from the questionnaire study guide for lecture number 14. So the study guide should have, the paper should have two sides. One side is the questions that's going to be for tonight's session, and the other side has the questions from last week that we're going to review right now. And the questionnaire study guide for 14 is from last week's session. We're going to review those questions now, and on the other side are the questions for tonight's session that we'll review next week. The first question from questionnaire study guide for lecture number 14 mentioned the first part of the 33rd statement of the author Al-Imam al-Tahawi. This 33rd statement is a lengthy statement, and Sheikh Salih Fawzan, Hafidhullah, in his commentary on Aqidah Tahawiyyah, has numbered this particular lengthy statement in nine parts. And this part is numbered as the 45th statement in Arabic and 44th in the English translation. So originally it is the 33rd statement of Al-Imam al-Tahawi, and Sheikh Salih Fawzan, Hafidhullah, has numbered it in the Arabic edition as number 45 and in English translation 44. So what is the first part of this 33rd statement of Al-Imam al-Tahawi? The first part. Now, Zaki. Faith. That indeed the Qur'an is the speech of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. The Qur'an is the actual speech of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. How does Sheikh Salih Fawzan explain the sequence of topics leading up to this statement of Al-Imam al-Tahawi? How does he explain the sequence leading up to this topic? Naam. Your name?
Muhammad.
Yes, Muhammad. Inshallah. Naam. Yani, after, in the first part of this aqidah, Al-Imam al-Tahawi mentions our belief in Allah and the Tawheed and the various aspects related to what we believe in reference to Allah. After that, we came to the topic, yani after so many points, we came to the topic of Iman in the Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam as the Messenger of Allah, as the seal of the Prophets, and so on. He said, after this, recognizing our belief in Allah and our belief in the Messenger of Allah, then the next matter that we should recognize is our belief in the Qur'an, which is the speech of Allah that He revealed to the Messenger, sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. Now, the speech of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala that He revealed to the Messenger, sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. Question number 3. Imam al-Tahawi's affirmation that the Qur'an is the speech of Allah rejects his speech as being attributed to who? Naam, Ali. Yani it rejects his speech as being what some people claim the speech of the angel Jibril. This rejects this. Also it rejects what? Naam. Fadl. Yeah. The Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam received it from Jibril, but some people claimed that this is the speech of the angel Jibril, and some people claim that it is the speech of the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam. So this statement of Al-Imam al-Tahawi is the affirmation that the Quran is indeed the speech of Allah and not the speech of anyone other than Allah, not even the angel Jibril who received it from him, who heard Allah's speech, nor the Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alaihi wasallam, who it was revealed to through the angel Jibril. Rather, it is the speech of Allah alone. Question number 4. We describe Allah by saying that He speaks. يعني هو يتكلم. But what do we say about the kayfiyya, the manner of how he speaks? What do we say about the manner of how he speaks, Muhammad? Okay, we say that we understand it in a way that befits his majesty. Okay, that's absolutely correct. I want to try to stick close to what the Sheikh said, yani, in his commentary though. Now, Adam. Just don't know how. Okay, he said that. We say that. We don't know the how of it. We don't know the how of it. Now, go ahead. Oh, Abdul Wali.
That his speech is baqiyya, and he speaks in whatever manner he wills, and we confirm his speech, but the manner is unknown.
Okay, we confirm his speech, the manner is unknown. The speech is from his sifat, as-sifat al-fi'liyya. There's one thing mentioned here that the Sheikh began with. I want to try to stick to the speech, yani to the quotations from the Sheikh, how he explained things. Even if sometimes we can explain our own words, as long as we understand it, it's fine. Now, I'm Yusuf. This is what the Sheikh began with. What do we say about the kayfiyya? Allahu A'lam. We say Allahu A'lam. Allah knows best about the kayfiyya. Why? Because the speech of Allah is from His sifat. And like the sifat, all of the sifat of Allah, we don't know their kayfiyya. The meaning of them is known. But how they are is unknown. How they are is unknown. So we say, Allah knows best. He's the only one who knows the reality of how His sifat are, including His speech and any other of the sifat of Allah. Naam, you want to say something? Oh, okay. The important thing here is that the Shaykh began by saying, Allahu A'lam. Allah is the one who really knows the kayfiyya. He's the only one who knows. Because the speech of Allah is from His sifat. And we don't know how are the sifat of Allah. We just know their meanings. But the reality of how they are is known only to Allah. Question number 5. Mention the second part of the 33rd statement of the author, Al-Imam al-Tahawi, here. This second part of the 33rd statement is numbered by Sheikh Saleh Fawzan in his Arabic commentary as number 46. If a person is reading from his commentary, number 46. If they're reading from the translation, is 45. And he mentioned the second part of the 33rd statement of Al-Imam al-Tahawi. Naam, Ahmed. So, there are two statements on this second part. The Sheikh connected them together and he explained them together. What's the rest of what he said there? And منه بدا بلا كيفية قولا. And then he said, نعم.
وأنزله على رسوله.
وأنزله على رسوله. وحيا. نعم. What is the meaning of this? What is the meaning of this? نعم, Ali.
The meaning is it began as a word from him in a manner that he do not know, and he sent it down to the messenger as wahy.
Now, it began, yani it originated from Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala as actual speech, qawlan, as actual speech, qawlan, in a manner that we don't know, yani bila kayfiyya, we don't know how, yani how is Allah's speech. And he added to that, he said, it began from Allah as actual speech, wa anzalahu ala rasulihi, wahyan, and he sent it down upon his messenger as revelation. So it began from Allah's actual speech that he spoke, and the angel Jibril alayhi salam heard the speech of Allah. And then he sent it down upon his messenger Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wasallam as revelation, yani conveyed from the angel Jibril to the Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wasallam. This is what Sheikh Saleh Fawzan has numbered as the yani 46th statement of Al-Imam al-Tahawi. These two statements, that it began, it originated from Allah as actual speech without us attempting to explain how, and he sent it down upon his messenger as revelation, meaning through the angel Jibril alayhi salam. Tayyib, the sixth question. How does Sheikh Al-Fawzan explain this second part of the 33rd statement of Al-Imam al-Tahawi? This second part, yani the 46th statement numbered by the Sheikh and 45th in the English translation. How does he explain this statement that it began from Allah's actual speech and he revealed it upon his messenger sallallahu alayhi wa sallam? How does he explain it? Now, I want to say Abdul Sabur, but Dawood. Same thing. Now, I want to start with the first name, Dawood. Help me.
The meaning of the statement is that the
one came down from above, as Majel, from above. So I was spoke and builded and did not descend to anyone else. It did not begin from Jabril, as some say, or from the tablet, or from the air. Its origin from above.
Now, yani the meaning of this is that, yani it's a confirmation that the Qur'an is the speech of Allah. It originated from Him, not from anyone else. Not from anyone else. Yani it didn't originate from the angel Jibril, nor from anyone else, but actually it originated from Allah. It's Allah's speech. It began from Him, and it was revealed through the angel Jibril to the Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. Nobody else, yani, sent it down. Yani Allah sent it down through the angel Jibril. Naam. Question number 7. Sheikh Salih al-Fawzan argues, if the Qur'an was the speech of humans, then what? Okay, Naam, Fadl.
If another human being had any part of the Qur'an, then he would be able to produce something like it, but he wasn't able to.
Okay, if the Qur'an had been the speech of a human being, then some other human being, somewhere amongst humanity, there would be somebody able to produce something like it. The fact that no human being is capable of producing anything like it, this is a proof that what? Then, that it's the speech of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. And the last question mentioned the statement of Allah in Surah Al-Baqarah, 2nd Surah, 23rd Ayah, from which this argument is derived. From which this argument is derived. Help me with your name.
Abdullah.
Naam, Abdullah. Help us. Yani the statement of Sheikh Salih al-Fawzan, his argument, that if it has been from a human being, then somebody, some human being will be able to produce something like it. What is the ayah from the Qur'an that this is based upon? In mithli. Naam. Yani the meaning of this ayat, yani, إن كنتم في ريب مما نزلنا على عبدنا فأتوا بسورة من مثله. يعني if you have some doubt about that which we have sent down upon our messenger, then bring, يعني one surah, one chapter like it. And Allah goes on to say in the rest of the ayah, يعني and call upon your shuhada, your witnesses, يعني your helpers and your supporters from other than Allah, يعني if you are truthful, if you are of the truthful. These are some of the matters that we discussed last week, and we want to continue with this topic of the Qur'an being the speech of Allah. I'm just going to quickly refresh our memories of what was covered and what we're going to cover tonight and what follows so that we have one complete topic in front of us. Yani, the Shaykh al-Imam al-Tahawi, rahimahullah, begins by saying, وَإِنَّ الْقُرْآنَ كَلَامُ اللَّهِ, that indeed the Qur'an is the speech of Allah. مِنْهُ بَدَى بِلَا كَيْفِيَ قَوْلًا, it originated from Him as actual speech without us trying to explain the how of Allah's speech. وَأَنْزَلَهُ عَلَىٰ رَسُولِهِ وَحْيًا, and He has revealed it. Allah has sent it down upon His messenger as revelation. That's what we covered last week, and tonight we're going to look at what He says after that. وَصَدَّقَهُ الْمُؤْمِنُونَ عَلَىٰ ذَلِكَ حَقًّا, and the believers, the people of Iman, confirmed, they verified, they attest to the fact, yani, that this is the actual truth. They attest to what? That the Qur'an is the speech of Allah that Allah sent down upon His messenger. وَأَيْقَنُوا أَنَّهُ كَلَامُ اللَّهِ تَعَالَى بِالْحَقِيقَةِ, and the believers are certain, yani have yaqeen, certainty of this reality, that the Qur'an is the speech of Allah the Most High, بِالْحَقِيقَةِ, in reality, not majazi, yani not as something allegorical or figurative. No, yani that this is the real speech of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. He said, وَلَيْسَ بِمَخْلُوقٍ كَكَلَامِ الْبَرِيَّةِ, and it is not, yani the Qur'an is not makhluq, it's not something created like the speech of the created beings. It's not something created like the speech of created beings. Yani everything in the creation, yani its speech is created like all of its characteristics or qualities or actions of every created being, their characteristics and their qualities and their descriptions and their actions are all also created. Imam Tahawi is saying here, this is the speech of Allah. It is not created like the speech of everything else besides Allah is created. And then he says, and this will be the last point that we're going to cover tonight. He says, فَمَنْ سَمِيَهُ فَزَعْمَ أَنَّهُ كَلَامَ الْبَشَرِ فَقَدْ كَفَرَ. So whoever heard the Qur'an, whoever heard this Qur'an, and then claims that it's the speech of a human being, this person has fallen into kufr. Any kufr that takes a person out of Islam. And they are no longer considered to be a Muslim. And then Imam al-Tahawi goes on to say that Allah has blamed this person and criticized this person who claims that the Qur'an is the speech of Allah and has threatened them with saqr, and with the hellfire, where Allah the Most High said that, I'm sorry.
Claims the speech of a human.
Whoever claims that this speech is the speech of humans, then Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, and he blames that person, criticizes that person, and threatens them with hellfire. Where Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says in the Quran, سَأُسْلِيهِ saqr, that I will definitely throw this person into the fire. And Imam al-Tahawi closes by saying, so when Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala threatened the person who claims this speech is the speech of a human being, when Allah threatens this person with the hellfire, yani for the one who says that the Quran is the speech of a human being, he said, from this we came to know and we are certain that indeed the Quran is the speech of the creator of the human beings and that it doesn't resemble the speech of human beings in any way whatsoever. Tonight, bi'ithni Allah ta'ala, we will look at just two or three, or I should say four. Yani what al-Imam or Shaykh Salih al-Fawzan has numbered in the Arabic edition as 47, point number 47, 48, 49, and 50. All of these are parts of the original statement, number 33 of al-Imam al-Tahawi, that the Shaykh has divided into a number of points. Tonight we're going to look at what he has numbered as 47 and 48 and 49 and 50. And point number 47, al-Imam al-Tahawi rahimahullah says, وَصَدَّقَهُ الْمُؤْمِنُونَ عَلَى ذَلِكَ حَقًّا صَدَّقَهُ الْمُؤْمِنِينَ عَلَى ذَلِكَ. Yani that the believers have testified to the truthfulness of the Qur'an in the manner that has been previously described as reality. Yani that this is the true reality, that the Qur'an is the speech of Allah and that he sent it down upon his messenger Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. صَدَّقَهُ الْمُؤْمِنُونَ عَلَى ذَلِكَ حَقًّا. The Shaykh says, Shaykh Salih al-Fawzan, Habibullah says, فَالْمُؤْمِنُونَ بِاللَّهِ وَرَسُولِهِ. Yani the believers are those who believe in Allah and His Messenger. Those who believe in Allah and His Messenger. And we don't want to get sidetracked with this, but the point is that the Shaykh is saying here, al-mu'minuna is not just any person says, I believe in Allah. Rather, a believer has to believe in the Messenger of Allah. Because there are people who say they believe in Allah. The people who believed in Isa alayhi salam, the people who believed in Musa alayhi salam, and they didn't believe in the Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. The believers are those who believe in Allah and who believe in His Messenger Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. He said, the believers who believe in Allah and His Messenger, يُصَدِّقُونَ بِأَنَّ الْقُرْآنَ كَلَامُ اللَّهِ عَزَّ وَجَلَّ وَأَنَّ مُحَمَّدًا صَلَّى اللَّهُ عَلَيْهِ وَسَلَّمَ إِنَّمَا هُوَ مُبَلِّغٌ عَنِ اللَّهِ. Yani the believers who believe in Allah and His Messenger, they testify to the truthfulness of this reality that the Qur'an is the speech of Allah عَزَّ وَجَلَّ. They testify that this is truth, that the Qur'an is the speech of Allah عَزَّ وَجَلَّ, and that the Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam is a مُبَلِّغ. Muballigh, the one who conveyed, who delivered, yani, the Qur'an that was revealed to him, to the people. He's Muballigh, anillahi subhanahu wa ta'ala. He's the one who conveyed the Qur'an from Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Here the Shaykh mentions two ayahs from the Qur'an, from Surah Al-Takwir, and from Surah Al-Haqqa. From Surah Al-Takwir, he mentions the ayah which is in reference to the angel Jibril, alayhi salam, and in Surah Al-Haqqa he mentions the same ayat. But in this case, the scholars of Tafsir say that ayat in this case is referring to the Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. And these two ayats are what may be the cause of some people who didn't really understand, who just read things on their own, and a person knows Arabic and they think they can understand the Quran without knowledge of the Quran, without referring to the scholars or the people of Sunnah, how they have explained the Qur'an. Same ayat came in two different places in the Qur'an. In one place it's referring to the angel Jibril, alayhi salam, and in the second place it's referring to the Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. He says, as far as the saying of Allah Azza wa Jalla, in Surah Al-Takwir, 81st Surah, 19th and 20th ayat, he says, إنه لقول رسول كريم. رسول كريم. إنه لقول رسول كريم. That indeed, he's talking about the Quran. إنه, the Quran, is the saying of a noble messenger. The saying of a noble messenger. ذي قوة عند ذي العرش مكين. يعني one who possesses قوة, power, to fulfill that which Allah has commanded him with, whatever it might be, even the destruction of nations. عند ذي العرش, يعني the one who is near to the possessor of the throne, near to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. مكين, يعني meaning this is the third description of the Rasul Kareem. يعني مكين means that he has a makana, a manzil, a high station above the other angels, the angel Jibril alayhi salam. The Shaykh says this ayat, فالمراد بإسناده إلى جبريل هو من باب التبليغ. يعني what is intended by connecting this speech to the angel Jibril? يعني إنه لقول رسول كريم. And it is the قول of a noble messenger. What is meant by يعني connecting this speech to the angel Jibril? It is من باب التبليغ. What is intended is that he is the one who بلغه. يعني he is the one who conveyed it from Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala to the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam. Why do we understand this, that the meaning of قول رسول كريم, that it's not meaning that this is the speech of the angel Jibril, the noble messenger? He said because it is not possible that the Quran be the speech of Allah and at the same time be the speech of Jibril. Yani speech can only be attributed to one person, and it's not possible to describe it, yani the Quran, as being the speech of more than one person. So ascribing it, nisbatuhu ila Allah, is haqiqiyya. Its ascription or attribution to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is haqiqiyya. In reality, it's actually his speech. وَأَمَّا نِسْبَتُهُ لِجِبْرِيلِ فَمِنْ بَابِ التَّبْلِيغِ. So, the ascription of the Qur'an to Allah is reality. It's actually his speech. And ascribing it or attributing it to the angel Jibril, as in this ayat, إِنَّهُ لَقَوْلُ رَسُولٍ كَرِيمٍ. Yani this ascription that it is the qawl, the speech of a noble messenger, is just from the perspective of he being the one who conveyed it, who delivered the message. And in another ayat, in Surah Al-Haqqa, 69th Surah, 40th and 41st ayat, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala repeats the same words, إِنَّهُ لَقَوْلُ رَسُولٍ كَرِيمٍ. Indeed, it, the Qur'an, is the qawl, the saying or the speech of a noble messenger. وَمَا هُوَ بِقَوْلِ شَاعِرٍ قَلِيلًا مَا تُؤْمِنُونَ. And it is not the speech of a poet. Little do you believe. The Shaykh says, Ya'ani, what is meant here by Rasulun Kareem, a noble messenger, is the Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. Al-idafatu, ilayhi idafat tabliq. Yani idafa means like same thing as what he mentioned earlier, isnaduhu. Yani idafa, if people who study Arabic know, yani that there is such a thing called al-idafa. Yani the mudaf and the mudaf ilayhi. Meaning these are two words that connect two things together, that there is some relationship of ownership or possession or part, one is a part of the other. Here, the meaning of, yani, idafatuhu, meaning connecting this qawl to the noble messenger, is connection from the perspective of the messenger being the muballigh, the one who conveyed the message. That's the meaning of the idafa, or the isnad. Here in this second ayah, is referring to the Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. The Shaykh goes on to say, وَقَدْ أَضَافَهُ سُبْحَانَهُ تَارَةً إِلَى نَفْسِهِ. Yani in one case, Allah attributes the Qur'an to himself. And in another case, he attributes it to Jibril, as in the first ayat in Surah Al-Taqwiyah. And in another instance, he attributes it to the Prophet Muhammad صلى الله عليه وسلم, as in Surah Al-Haqqa. وَالْكَلَامَ الْوَاحِدْ لَا يُمْكِنْ أَنْ يَتَكَلَّمْ بِهِ أَكْثَرَ مِنْ وَاحِدْ. So speech, one speech, yani it's not possible that more than one person, yani in reality, is the speaker of that speech. Only one person spoke it, and that is Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. And its attribution or ascription to other than Allah, yani to the angel Jibril or to the Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alaihi wasallam, is just from the perspective of they being Yani from amongst, yani they being the ones who conveyed it, that the angel Jibril conveyed it from Allah to the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam, and the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam conveyed it to the ummah. فيكون فتكون إضافته إلى الله إضافة ابتداء. So the connection or the relation or the ascription to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is yani the ascription of to the one yani in reference to its origin, yani that it began with Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, وهو كلامه, and it is actually his speech, and connecting it to the angel Jibril or to the Prophet Muhammad alayhi wasalam, yani is just from the perspective of them being the one who convey, the ones who conveyed it. In the next point, yani Al-Imam al-Tahawi mentions what? That the Quran is the speech of Allah. That it began, it originated from Allah as actual speech without explaining how, and then he sent it down upon his messenger Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wasallam. He said, yani as revelation, and then he said, and the believers testified to the Quran as being true, yani just as it was described as being the speech of Allah and revealed to the Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alaihi wasallam. And then the Shaykh comes back and he reaffirms, he says, wa ayqanu annahu kalamullah ta'ala bil haqiqati. And they, the believers, the mu'minun, ayqanu, they have yaqeen, certainty, that the Quran is the speech of Allah the Most High, bil haqiqati, that it is the speech of Allah, yani in reality, not majazan, yani not something that is figuratively attributed to Allah or allegorically attributed to Allah, but it is Allah's speech haqiqatan, in reality. Here the Shaykh Salih Fawzan, he says, yani that the believers are certain, have certainty that it's the speech of Allah bil haqiqa, he said, laysa bil majazi, yani that it is not, this is not an ascription that's allegorical, kama yaquluhu al-jahmiyyah wal-mu'tazila. This is not, yani, an ascription that's allegorical, as is the position or the statement or the view of the Jahmiyyah and the Mu'tazila. Shaykh says, hum yaquluna, yani these people, they say, kalamullah. They say the Quran is kalamullah. Walakin nisbatuhu ila Allah majaz. They say the Quran is the speech of Allah, but they say its ascription, attributing to Allah, is allegorical and is metaphorical. It's not his speech in reality. They said, لِأَنَّ اللَّهِ خَالِقُهُ وَإِضَافَتُهُ إِلَى اللَّهِ إِضَافَتَ مَخْلُوقُ إِلَى خَالِقِهِ. He said, the reason why they are attributing it to Allah, not in reality, but as majazi, yani they are attributing it to Allah, because Allah is its creator. And according to them, Allah is the creator of the Quran, and so ascribing it to Allah is the ascription, yani of ascribing that which is created to its creator. That which is created, ascribing it or attributing it to its creator. And an example of this is the Kaaba, is the house of Allah. The Kaaba is the Baytullah. Ascribing the Kaaba to Allah is the ascription of what? Of something that's created to its creator. Ascribing something that's created to its creator, or something that is owned by to its owner, or something that's possessed to the one who possesses it. And in other words, they are saying, wrongly, that we say the Qur'an is the speech of Allah because Allah created the Qur'an, and therefore we can say, yani it's the Qur'an is the speech of Allah, He created it. The same way we say the house of Allah, the she-camel of Allah, the messenger of Allah, yani, none of these things are part of Allah, but they are ascribed to Allah because Allah is the creator, the owner, the possessor, the controller, and this is an ascription of honor. As the Shaykh says here, we say, كَذَّبْتُمْ, you have lied. This is important, it's a little bit technical, but it's important that we understand the difference of what is meant by ascribing something to Allah. And there are two ways the Shaykh is going to explain that we can attribute or ascribe something to Allah. We say that you have lied because the al-idafa ila Allah ala naw'ain, idafatu ma'anin wa idafatu a'yan. Yani ascribing something to Allah comes in two ways, is of two types. There are two ways you can attribute something to Allah. The first way is idafatu ma'anin. Yani ma'anin meaning al-ma'ani, meanings, yani characteristics, qualities. Yani the first ascription is the ascription of qualities. Ascribing certain qualities to Allah. Ma'anin, what is intended here is sifat. Yani certain qualities, ascribing them to Allah. Like Allah has knowledge. Allah's knowledge. Allah's speech. Allah's hearing. Allah's power. Allah's will. Yani these are qualities that may be attributed to Allah because they are His sifat. They are from His sifat, His qualities or characteristics or descriptions. The second type of attribution or ascription is idafatu a'yan. Yani attributing something that has a physical reality, a physical entity, attributing that to Allah. Something that is in the physical world, that Allah created. You can attribute, yani it's possible to attribute these physical entities to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, He being their creator, their possessor, their owner, their controller. So these are two types of ascription. One is the ascription of ma'anin, that is sifat, qualities or characteristics that Allah has. And the other is attributing something in the physical creation to Allah. Attributing something in the physical creation to Allah. That's not a part of Allah. But Allah is the creator, the owner, and the possessor of it. So the Shaykh explains each of them with a couple of examples, and it's important to understand this, even though yani the Arabic language is crystal clear, the translation of it might not be so clear. So please, and may Allah help me to translate it in a way that can be comprehended. The first type of ascription, he said, is what? Yani idafatu ma'anin. النوع الأول يعني the إضافة المعاني إلى الله مثل الكلام يعني the first type of ascription or attribution attributing something to Allah is the ascription of معاني يعني qualities or characteristics يعني صفات for example الكلام يعني attributing speech to Allah يعني we say the Quran is the speech of Allah and so is the Torah and the Injil and everything else that Allah revealed. Yani we can attribute that to Allah as one of His qualities that He is described with, or that He is qualified with. فَإِضَافَةُ الْمَعَانِ إِلَى اللَّهِ إِضَافَةُ صِفَةٍ إِلَى الْمَوْصُوفِ Yani for Arabic students this should be crystal clear. Yani the ascription of these qualities or characteristics to Allah is the ascription, إِضَافَةُ صِفَةٍ إِلَى الْمَوْصُوفِ Yani connecting the sifa, the adjective, quality or characteristic, to the one that is described with it. Talib understands. Sifa and Mawsuf, or Na'at and Man'ut. In some books it's described as Na'at and Man'ut. Yani the adjective that is describing or qualifying someone or something. So you, this quality you are ascribing to that one. And you say that, yani you say that, for example, the Quran, yani is the speech of Allah. Yani the Qur'an, a description of the Qur'an is that it's the speech of Allah. So this is a quality or a characteristic. Yani you can say it is an adjective. Yani that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is described with, that the Qur'an is His speech. So the first type of ascription is the ascription of a sifa, an adjective, a quality, a characteristic, to the one that is described with it. Yani so kalam is a quality or a characteristic that's ascribed to the one who's described with it, yani the speaker. In this case, the Qur'an is the speech of Allah, so we can ascribe this speech to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala like a description of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Other qualities or characteristics that may be ascribed to Allah, he said, فالكلام, speech, والسمع, hearing, والبصر, seeing, القدرة, power or ability, al-irada, will. He said all of these are examples of qualities or characteristics that are attributed to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala from this angle of idafatu sifatin ila mawsufin. Yani ascribing a quality or characteristic to the one who is described with it. لِأَنَّ هَذِي الْمَعَانٍ لَا تَقُومُ بنفسها إنما تقوم بالموصوف بها. And this is because these meanings, these qualities, or these characteristics are not independent of themselves. They don't just exist independent of anything. Rather, they are attached to whatever they are describing. They are attached to whatever or whoever they are descriptions of. So this is the first description, yani إضافة المعاني, qualities or characteristics that are attributed to the one that they qualify or describe or characterize. The second type of ascription, النوع الثاني إضافة أعيان, يعني attributing physical entities, things that exist in the created world. For example, Baytullah, the house of Allah, يعني the Kaaba, it's a physical entity that exists, that is created, a created thing. وناقتullah, the she-camel of Allah. وعبدullah, the servant or worshipper of Allah. هذه إضافة مخلوق إلى خالقه. يعني this is the attribution or ascription of something that's created to the one who created it. The ascription or attribution of something that's created to the one who created it. وفائدة الإضافة هنا التشريف والتكريم, and the benefit of connecting, attributing these things to Allah is to honor them, to give them honor and nobility. Yani when we say the house of Allah, that's honoring the Kaaba. When we say the she-camel of Allah, it's because Allah has honored this she-camel and he, yani, threatened the people, yani, not to kill this she-camel. He threatened that he would destroy them. And the abd of Allah, yani the worship of Allah, yani if a person is truly described as abdullah, in reality, this is the greatest honor. This is the greatest honor that the Prophet ﷺ has been described with, abdullah. So here, yani the point here is that the Shaykh is saying that these people, even though they say the Quran is the speech of Allah, we are saying that figuratively, meaning that the Quran is created by Allah, that's why we can attribute it to Him. And we are saying no. What is attributed to Allah from physical things, yani, is a different description than attributing to Allah qualities or characteristics that are part of Him. And Allah's speech is part of Him. Allah's knowledge is part of Him. Allah's power is part of Him. The Kaaba is not part of Allah. That's a different type of ascription altogether, and these people are using this in a false manner in order to, yani, cover their false claim that the Quran is not the speech of Allah. Rather, it's something that's created by Allah, and that's the only reason why we can say it's the speech of Allah, meaning that He created it. After this, Al-Imam al-Tahawi says, لَيْسَ بِمَخْلُوقٍ كَكَلَامِ الْبَرِيَّةِ, yani that the Quran is not created like the speech of created beings. Everything that's created, its speech is also created. And the speech of Allah is, yani, part of Allah. So it's not created. Yani Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, nothing that is a part of Allah is created. Allah is divine, and everything else is created. And Allah's qualities and characteristics are divine. They are not created. Imam al-Tahawi says, لَيْسَ بِمَخْلُوقٍ, yani Allah's speech, a sifa from His sifat, is not created like the speech of the created beings. All of their characteristics or qualities are created. The Shaykh, he says, yani the meaning here of Al-Imam al-Tahawi, لَيْسَ بِمَخْلُوقٍ, he said, meaning the speech of Allah is not created, means this is a refutation against the Jahmiyyah and the Mu'tazila, those who say that indeed the Quran is created. He is refuting straight up the Mu'tazila and the Jahmiyyah, who say that the Quran is created. Why did they say the Quran is created? The Shaykh mentions 4 points. Why did they say the Quran is created? How did they come to this false conclusion? How did they go astray? 4 points the Shaykh mentions here. They say the Quran is created. Yani the Jahmiyyah and the Mu'tazila, يقولون إن القرآن مخلوق. Why? لأن الله عندهم لا يتكلم. That's the first point. Why do they say it's created? Because according to them, Allah doesn't speak. Allah doesn't speak. So we can't say that it's the speech of Allah. Allah doesn't speak. That's the first point of deviation. لأن الله عندهم لا يتكلم. Because according to them, Allah doesn't speak. So how can the Quran be His speech? على منهجهم في نفي الصفات كلها. Why do they say Allah doesn't speak? Because their manhaj, their methodology is that they negate the sifat of Allah, all of them. They negate all of Allah's sifat. Yani the Jahmiyyah and Mu'tazila, Yani some of the deviants negated some of his sifat and affirmed some of them. The Jahmiya, the Mu'tazila negate all of Allah's sifat, including speech. So why did they negate Allah speaking? Because that's their manhaj, that they negated all of Allah's sifat. Why do they negate Allah's sifat? Point number three, فِرَارًا بِزَعْمِهِمْ مِنَ التَّشْبِيهِ. Because this, they claim, is their way to escape from making a comparison, tashbih, comparing Allah to the created beings. Yani if the created beings see and Allah sees, they're making a comparison according to them. They're saying, then we are saying Allah is like the created beings. The created beings see and Allah sees. The created beings hear and Allah hears. This is their twisted thinking. The Shaykh is making it crystal clear that why do they negate Allah's sifat? فِرَارًا بِزَعْمِهِمْ مِنَ التَّشْبِيهِ. Because they claim this is their way of escaping from making a comparison between Allah and the created beings. How did they reach this false conclusion that if they affirm for Allah what He affirmed for Himself? How did they reach this false conclusion that this would be tashbih? Because لِأَنَّهُمْ لَمْ يُفَرِّقُوا بَيْنَ صِفَاتِ الْخَالِقِ وَصِفَاتِ الْمَخْلُوقِ. Yani the reason why they thought this would be comparing Allah, making a resemblance between Allah and the created beings, is because they didn't make a distinction between the sifat of the created beings and the sifat of the Creator. Yani they didn't realize that ascribing to Allah seeing is not like the seeing of created beings. Allah's hearing is not like the hearing of created beings. Allah's speech is not like the speech of created beings. Yani the meaning of speech is the same, but the reality of it is different. So why did they think this would be making a resemblance between Allah and the created beings? لَأَنْهُمْ لَمْ يُفَرِّقُوا بَيْنَ صِفَاتِ الْخَالِقِ وَصِفَاتِ الْمَخْلُوقِ. Because they didn't make a distinction, a difference between the qualities of the Creator and the quality of the created beings that just yani, are referred to by the same words. Speech, hearing, sight, power. The same words are used, but the qualities of the Creator, His hearing and His sight, and His speech and His power and His knowledge is different than those qualities of the created beings. When the Shaykh closes this by saying, فَفَرُّوا مِنَ التَّشْبِيهِ الْمَوْهُومِ وَوَقَعُوا فِي التَّعْطِيلِ الْمَذْمُومِ وَهُوَ شَرٌّ مِنْهُ كَالْمُسْتَجِيرِ مِنَ الرَّمْضَاءِ بِالنَّارِ. So they fled from the imagined resembling Allah to the created beings. What they imagined, there's no resemblance here because the sifat of Allah is different than the sifat of the created beings. But they fled from their imagined resembling Allah to the created beings, and they fell in at ta'atil, al-madhmum. Yani negating Allah's sifat outright. Negating Allah's sifat outright is worse than what they would claim they were fleeing from. He said it's like the one who, yani, al-mustajir, the one who seeks to escape from the heat, from the sun-baked ground, by going into the fire. In English they say, jumping out of the frying pan into the fire. Now the frying pan is hot and the fire is worse. It's hot and it also burns. It destroys. So he said they are fleeing from one thing in their own mind and they fell into that which is worse than it. He said if only they had affirmed what Allah affirmed for Himself. If only they had affirmed. If Allah said He speaks, then they should say He speaks. Allah knows best. If only they had affirmed what Allah affirmed for Himself. And if only they had known that there is a farq بَيْنَ صِفَاتِ الْخَالِقِ وَصِفَاتِ الْمَخْلُوقِ. If only they had known that there's a difference between the sifat of the Creator and the sifat of the created beings. لَأَصَابُوا عَيْنَ الْحَقِّ وَاسْتَرَاحُوا وَرَاهُ النَّاسِ وَلَكِنَّهُمْ فِي الدَّلَالِ. Yani if only they had affirmed for Allah what He affirmed for Himself. Yani testified to the truth of whatever Allah says about Himself, and known that there's a difference between the qualities of the created being and the qualities of the Creator. If only then they would have attained the truth, and they would have rested, and they would have allowed the people to rest as well. Allahu musta'an. So, I mean, there's some extra kalam here that we wanted to present, but we're going to just finish with this final point because we're at the end of the time at this point. So the last point that we want to mention is what Sheikh Saleh Fawzan has numbered as point number 50. And it's the sixth part of this long statement of Al-Imam al-Tahawi, the 33rd statement. Point number 50 in Arabic, and English is point number 49. فَمَنْ سَمِيَهُ وَزَعَمَ أَنَّهُ كَلَامُ الْبَشَرِ فَقَدْ كَفَرُ. So whoever hears it, whoever heard the Quran, and then claims that the speech of Allah, that it is the speech of a human being, this person has fallen into kufr. This person has fallen into kufr. Quickly, the Shaykh, he says, briefly, he says, so whoever heard the speech of Allah and then claimed that it is the speech of a human being, this person has fallen into kufr. لِأَنَّهُ جَاهَدَ كَلَامُ اللَّهِ عَزَّ وَجَلَّ لِأَنَّهُ جَاهَدَ كَلَامُ اللَّهِ عَزَّ وَجَلَّ يعني whoever heard the speech of Allah and then claimed that is the speech of human beings, then this person has fallen into disbelief. And that is because he has denied the speech of Allah عز وجل. And he has denied the speech of Allah, meaning he has denied that the Quran is the speech of Allah. He has denied that the Quran is the speech of Allah. And denying that the Quran is the speech of Allah is kufr. Why? Because it's denying what came in the Quran itself. It's denying what Allah said in the Quran itself. So whoever heard the speech of Allah, the Quran, and claim that it's the speech of a human being, they have fallen into disbelief because they have denied the speech of Allah. They have denied that the Quran is the speech of Allah, and this is a denial of the Quran itself. The Shaykh goes on to say, إِذَا لَمْ يَكُنْ لِلَّهِ كَلَامًا يُنزِلُهُ عَلَىٰ عِبَادِهِ فَبِمَا تَكُومُ الْحُجَّ عَلَيْهِمْ يعني, if there wasn't any speech which Allah has revealed upon His worshippers, and He didn't reveal Quran, He didn't reveal the Torah, Injil, or any other book, Suhuf Ibrahim and Musa, if there was no speech of Allah that had been revealed to the people to instruct them, to command, to prohibit, to guide them, then what would be the hujjah, the proof? Yani how would the proof be established against them on Yawm al-Qiyamah if Allah didn't and He revealed any commands or prohibitions or guidance to the people? So their intention, فَقَصْتُهُمْ بِقَوْلِهِمْ هَذَا حَدْمُ الشَّرَائِعِ. So what they intend, their objective, their goal in this statement of theirs is the destruction of the legislations that Allah revealed to the nations through the prophets throughout time. فَإِذَا كَانَ لَيْسَ فِي الْقَوْنِ If there is no in the creation, no speech of Allah, no revelation to the people to guide them and to command them and to prohibit them, not in the Torah, not in the Injil, not in the Quran, then the meaning of that is that مَا قَامَتْ عَلَى النَّاسِ الْحُجَّ مِنَ اللَّهِ Then no proof has been established against the people from Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala that He could call them account for. وَهَذَا مِنْ عَظَمِ الْكُفْرِ وَعَظَمِ الضَّلَالِ And this is from the greatest of kufr and from the greatest of misguidance. This is the end of what the Shaykh said. With this part, inshallah, we'll continue next week. So we have 10 minutes inshallah from the time of the adhan, yani there's 20 minutes and we're going to take 10 minutes. I'm just going to read quickly a couple of points here. In fact, I'm not going to read them because rather than take that much time, yani there's like 13 statements in this book. Yani Azim al-Minna fi Jam' al-Qa'id A'immat al-Sunnah. This is a tremendous book in which the author has collected the aqaid, yani the different creeds of the imams of the sunnah. And in this chapter on the Kalam of Allah, he has collected 12 statements, beginning from Al-Imam Sufyan al-Thawri, who died in the year 161. And including statements from Al-Imam al-Bukhari, Al-Imam al-Tabari, the Imam of the scholars of Tafsir, and other scholars, yani many of the yani important scholars from the early generations of the Muslims, he has collected their statements concerning this matter of the speech of Allah, yani that the Qur'an is the speech of Allah and it's from the sifat of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. So, here he mentions 12 statements, including a few statements from Shaykh al-Islam ibn Taymiyyah in the footnotes. And rather than to rush through those statements, I'm not going to do that now. I'm just going to close with one point. Yani, and next week, inshallah, after we review the points that we discussed tonight, we'll read some of those, a few of them, not all of them, some of the statements of the imams of sunnah that verify and confirm and coincide exactly with what Al-Imam al-Tahawi says here, that the Qur'an is the speech of Allah, and that it's not created, and whoever says that it is created, that it is the speech of human beings, or other than Allah, is a kafir. That takes it, that is the kufr that takes a person out of Islam. So what we're going to close with, and we'll just take a minute, from what yani, we can mention concerning this topic tonight, it comes from the commentary of Al-Imam Muhammad ibn Salih al-Uthaymeen, rahimahullah, in his commentary on Al-Aqidah Al-Wasitiyah. On his commentary on Al-Aqidah Al-Wasitiyah, on the chapter of the Qur'an is the speech of Allah, he mentions at the end of the chapter, and in his commentary on this chapter is maybe 50 or 60 or 70 pages. But in any case, he mentions at the end of it, he said, مَا نَسْتَفِيدُهُ مِنَ النَّاحِيَّةَ الْمَسْلَقِيَّةِ مِنْ هَذِهِ الْآيَاتِ. He mentions several ayats about the Qur'an being the speech of Allah, and the speech of Allah in different places Allah is speaking. He says, so what benefits can we get from the perspective of يعني ناحية المسلقية, يعني from behavior, from the side of, and how will understanding these ayats and understanding this point, how does it affect our behavior? And this is extremely important, because learning aqidah is important so that we know what we're supposed to believe, because this is the foundation of our deen. But also we need to know that learning the correct aqidah affects our behavior. It's not just theory in our mind. Yani things that we espouse and we say we believe, that the Qur'an is the speech of Allah. How does believing that affect your behavior? How should it affect your behavior? The Shaykh, he mentions 5 points. نَسْتَفِيدُ أَنَّنَا إِذَا عَلَمْنَا أَنَّ هَذَا الْقُرْآنَ تَكَلَّمَ بِهِ رَبَّ الْعَالَمِينَ. Yani what we benefit if we came to know that the Qur'an, that Allah, the Rabb al-Alameen, actually spoke the words of the Qur'an, that this is Allah's speech. What is the benefit? He said, أَوْجَبَ لَنَا ذَلِكَ تَعَظِيمْ هَذَا الْقُرْآنِ. That this would make, yani would compel us to exalt and to magnify and glorify the Qur'an. And he would make us to have ta'azim of the Qur'an. If we know that it's the speech of Allah, it means then that this speech is yani glorified, it's exalted, it's magnified, because it's the speech of Allah. وَاحْتِرَامَهُ. And it will also cause us to have reverence and to venerate and to honor and respect this Qur'an. Number 3. وَامْتِثَالْ مَا جَاءَ فِيهِ مِنَ الْأَوَامِرِ. And it would also cause us to comply with the commands that came in the Qur'an. If we know and believe with certainty that the Qur'an is the speech of Allah, then it will cause us to comply with the commands that came in the Qur'an. وَالْتَرْكْ مَا فِيهِ مِنَ الْمَنْهِيَاتِ وَالْمَحْذُورَاتِ. And it would also cause us to leave, to give up the things that are prohibited, that we have been prohibited from in the Qur'an, and the things that we have been warned against, to take precautions from. وَالتَّصْدِيقُ مَا جَاءَ فِيهِ مِنَ الْأَخْبَارِ عَنِ اللَّهِ تَعَالَى وَعَنْ مَخْلُوقَاتِهِ السَّابِقَ وَاللَّاحِقَةِ. And the fifth point, he says, it will also necessitate, and it will obligate upon us to testify to the truthfulness of what came, the information that came in the Qur'an concerning Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. And whatever the Qur'an says about Allah, including that Allah speaks, that He spoke, and He will speak in the future on Yawm al-Qiyamah, and He speaks whenever He wills. It will cause us to testify to the truthfulness of what information came to us in the Qur'an about Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, and the information that came to us about His created beings. As-sabiqa wal-lahika. Yani what information came to us about the creation, nations and otherwise, in the past history that we don't know about, as well as lahika, the future, what's going to happen in the future that didn't happen yet. Yani, if a person believes that the Qur'an is the speech of Allah, it will necessitate, awjaba, it will make obligatory upon us to magnify and to exalt and to extol the Qur'an, and to have reverence and to venerate the Qur'an, and to comply with its commands, to abandon its prohibitions, and to testify to the truthfulness of the information that came in it about Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, and about His creation, yani past history as well as the future. Subhanak Allahumma wa bihamdika. Ashhadu an la ilaha illa anta astaghfiruka wa atubu ilayk. I ask Allah for myself and for each of you that He grant us success in doing whatever we do sincerely for His sake alone, and that we do it yani in accordance with the authentic sunnah of our Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, and that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala recognize, record and reward our good deeds, and that He pardon, forgive and overlook our mistakes and errors, and that He grant us al-thabat, yani firmness and steadfastness upon as-sirat al-mustaqim, until we return to Him in a condition in which we are pleased with Him and pleasing to Him. And we ask Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala to grant yani complete and speedy recovery to those amongst us who are sick, and to shower his rahmah upon those who have passed away, and to fill their graves with light, and to make them spacious, and to admit them into his paradise, and to save them from the punishment of the hellfire and the punishment of the grave. And we ask Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala to grant relief to the Muslims, men, women and children, who are being persecuted and slaughtered and murdered in Palestine and in other lands, wherever it may be. So Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala grant them relief. And indeed, help is sought from Allah alone. Wallahu musta'an. Ameen ya rabbal alameen. Inshallah, after the salat, those who are able to stay, we're going to have some light refreshments, and inshallah we'll have a chance to discuss some of the issues that we talked about tonight. If there are some questions or some comments or any corrections from what has been said, inshallah after the salat, we're going to stay for a few moments, bi-idhnillahi ta'ala, for those who are able. Barakallahu feekum wa jazakum Allahu khayran.